The Doctor Who After Show is back, and oh, it's brilliant. Let's get into the 2017 Christmas special. The Christmas special, Twice Upon a Time.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Oh, hey, guys. There it is. Welcome back. To the Doctor Who After Show here at AfterBuzz TV. Oh, I'm so excited to talk more Who. I love talking about Doctor Who. I'm your host, Zach Wilson. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at ThatZachWilson. I have a great panel assembled to you tonight to talk about the Christmas special. Right to my left is Adrian Snow.
Hey, everyone. Sorry, I'm a little under the weather. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Miss Adrian Snow. Great to be back.
She's not going to let a little bit of disease stop her from talking about Doctor Who.
She's here to infect all of us with disease and knowledge.
Listen, it's just a little throat irritation.
We'll see. It's fine. Way to start the new year. I'm Dave Child. You can find me at mrdavechild at davechild.com because my name is Dave Child. That's what I say.
Jacob Albers knows that your name is Dave Child. He wants to know, when did you get a beard?
Oh, Christmas, baby. Santa left a beard under this tree, and I put it on.
And the other half of the Bird Boys, Tari Miller, is not here tonight.
Ca-ca, to my Bird Boy.
But we've got wonderful Christian Blatt filling in for him today.
Happy to be here, and you can find me at ChristianDMZ on Twitter and Instagram.
All right, guys, let's dig into Twice Upon a Time, because it had twice as many doctors.
There's two
or
of
three
them.
Times as many.
Yes.
Well, twice as
through the body of the story.
Don't make me do math, man.
I know. It's the day after New Year's.
I'm counting.
I shouldn't have done that.
There's a 1 and there's a 12, but technically he's also 13. But like 13 is who shows up at the end.
And technically there's also a 2 because yeah, 2
you
shows
do see
up
two
when
for
he,
a second.
Oh, God, for that moment. Okay.
And you also see actually everyone at once.
Oh, that's a really good point. Yeah, even the War Doctor. So there's like 15 doctors.
All right, everybody calm down. So just first reactions off the top, what did you guys think of Twice Upon a Time?
I liked it.
I love that question mark at the end.
But it was not my favorite. And I guess I think that comes down to the fact that it wasn't real Bill. And the fact that they gave that kind of like weird tension between her and the 12. Because that's kind of what I really wanted to see, was that send off between them especially. I mean, I was happy to see the First Doctor and have that interaction as well, but I just needed it to be real Bill. I wanted to see like what happened after she left with the girl. So
That's a good point. There was a lot of stuff I liked. There was a lot of like fun moments. I actually like how they tied it into Christmas. I like all that stuff. But when I think back on the whole episode, it just didn't feel, it's kind of a forgettable episode. It's like nothing really happened. I didn't like a lot of the choices that they made, but we did get to have fun, like, oh, don't talk to my older misogynist, maybe racist self. Right. Don't talk to that. Just that's not who I am anymore, is the point. I love all those moments.
But Dave, he was sexist, not racist. There's a difference.
Yeah, I guess that's
maybe.
True. I think a little bit of both.
Man.
Yeah, that's true.
Look, if you watch those First Doctor episodes, there's some questionable calls. Let's leave it there.
When he sees Bill, he says, are you going to clean up the TARDIS?
But it's because she was a woman, not because she was
a little bit of both, I think.
That's true. He would have asked Mickey to clean up the TARDIS as well, probably.
Yeah, probably.
For me personally, I'm probably in the minority. In the minority, but I loved it, and I'll admit, I almost cried towards the end. Didn't cry.
Oh, yeah?
You're angry about almost crying.
Well, I was mad at myself that I was letting it be done to me. I was like, don't manipulate me like this. How dare you? But I was very moved because of how attached I am to the 12th Doctor, just me personally.
All right.
But like Adrian said, not my favorite. Husbands of River Song would probably be my favorite Christmas episode.
Ooh, yes. That was a great one.
Yeah. Yes.
I don't know if I could pick a favorite Christmas special, but this episode was definitely not it. here's the thing. I think emotionally, this was a good episode. In terms of like a send-off for Capaldi, decent episode.
Yeah.
But here's my question to you guys. what was the plot?
Yeah, there wasn't.
Yeah.
There wasn't one. I mean, what it came down to was it was two versions of the doctor trying to decide whether they're going to die or not.
Yeah.
Let themselves die or let themselves regenerate.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it's an existential crisis was the whole plot. And it wasn't as firm as it could be. It wasn't as,
I think if they had not tried to put them on an adventure immediately and introduce this new character of the testimony, I think it could have been a lot more interesting to see. Or to even have the first doctor go and reflect with the 12th doctor over like the course of things that he's done and like to kind of touch in on it, or even to bring back Maisie Williams or something, like just give me something, anything to kind of like have us understand that this is like the last time we will see Peter Capaldi as the doctor, you know, regardless of flashbacks, regardless of like random occasions where he might run into himself.
Right.
As will definitely happen.
As will definitely happen. But that's like when I think about send-offs, I think about the Russell T. Davies years, and I mean Christopher Eccleston like didn't want to be there anymore, we all know that, and so like it was kind of like, and he's gone. But with David Tennant, he got to go through it was such a beautiful episode of him taking his time and saying goodbye, and that last moment with Rose where she doesn't know him yet and he's talking about how she's gonna have a great year. Like having those moments is what makes it a beautiful send-off, you know?
And Matt Smith had a similar, like, his final, like, episode was this crazy Christmas story of being attacked by everyone at once, and he's just, and giving up what it means to be the doctor, giving up traveling to stay here and protect it, and there's dramatic arcs, and, like, is Clark gonna show up and get and talk him out of this? Like, what is he gonna do?
Yeah.
And there's more tension in the episode. Like, I think that's what was really missing from this was any sort of tension. I really like this point from the chat. Florence Flowers says the episode was more of an epilogue to the Doctor Falls. And that's what that's really what it was. It was a 1.5 times as long as a normal episode long epilogue.
Mm-hmm.
And like that frame, like that actually makes more sense to, I think, what it was. I think it really was an epilogue. It wasn't a full episode.
It just kind of reminded me that I always felt like Peter Capaldi's been a little underserved as the act as the doctor, like in terms of script and
I agree.
And I always get really sad because he's such a great actor and he's so fascinating to watch. But I don't know if they really knew what to do with him.
Yeah,
and that's kind of sad. And then it also made me realize that the Moffat doctors only have like 2 companions each, whereas like the Davies I guess 4. 5, 6
Donna and Martha.
Martha, yeah, and Captain Rose. Jack,
yeah.
And Mickey.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was the strong... I've said it numerous times on this show, is that the Doctor... Like, Doctor Who is always strongest when the Doctor has 2 companions.
Which is
why that's the perfect number when it's Rose and Jack or Rose and Mickey or Amy and Rory. Like, there's a reason that those... That seasons 5 and 6 are my favorite is because Amy and Rory bring a very unique dynamic. Even when Rory like disappears for a little while, there's still his absence is still a character on the show.
It's what I really liked about having Bill and Nardal during this most recent season.
Yeah.
Once he actually started getting to leave the university, you know, when he had to stay and babysit Missy, you know. But once they were actually together, I was like, I would have liked to have seen more of that. You know, we knew it was Capaldi and Moffat's last season. I was like, oh, it would have been great to get one more year of just watching the three of them do things.
Yeah.
But I think you're right. It's just one doctor, one companion is fine for the first couple episodes. And then you're like, let's mix it up a little bit, get somebody else in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I mean... There was I also felt, I guess that's why we had to see Clara in this, because it's like his one other companion, and she had to kind of make an appearance, and he has to remember. It's nice that he remembered her now, but it's also
not Clara.
It also takes away from the sacrifice that happened, you know. And it was
it reminded me of how much I disliked that plot point that like he just forgot. Mm-hmm. What, yeah. He forgot her face?
He forgot everything about her.
He knows that she exists. He knows they went on an adventure, but he doesn't remember the adventures. And he doesn't remember what she looks like.
It's basically they did what they did to, oh my God, what's her, Donna?
Yeah.
And they just put it on the doctor.
But stuff. Donna didn't remember him at all.
But like, he remembered enough of their adventures because he remembers Rusty.
Well, there's moments where he's like playing the guitar and he kind of plays like the Clara theme or something. Yeah. And he's like, yeah, that sounds familiar. And then
so I think the idea was that he remembers the events and like the other people that he met, but there's just like a blank spot.
Yeah.
Where Clara would have been. It gets a little blurry.
Because literally before that even happens, in this episode, mm-hmm. he runs into a character from those episodes that he fully remembers the adventure of in Rusty the Doll.
Oh, right. Yes. Yep. Yep.
So he didn't. It was very. I had to go back and like reread like all the synopsis to remember exactly what happened because it was so messy, the losing of memories. But
yeah.
I think you need to just give him all of his memories back so that when Whitaker takes over, she has full use of whatever she wants to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just the one thing that bugged me about this episode, which is a big thing, is that you're dealing with themes of death and contemplation. And that means that gives you so much room to work with. You could have worked with a lot of stuff mm-hmm. and made it very dramatic. And instead, the testimony, they were just so weak. And I kind of felt like I didn't want them added to the world, world of Doctor Who, that these people show up right when you die and upload your like memories and then you live on through these memories. It's nice, but I also just, there's nothing there. It just doesn't feel very strong.
That's kind of just like a spin on River Song.
Yeah.
Like we've already seen.
Right. It's a lot like the library.
Yeah.
That's what you're, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I find it interesting. It's a very interesting sci-fi concept.
Yeah. It would have been nice if they tied it into.
They didn't really do much with it once introduced. So you're like, oh, this is cool. What are they going to do next? Oh, nothing.
Nothing. He's just like, oh, it's not evil. Then I'm good.
Yeah.
I would figure out a way to like make it maybe a little evil or make it something that he has to maintain and there's something else that's going against it and wants to break it
out. It could just be River Song. Like, that would have been a really nice reveal that the glass woman is River Song.
Oh, this was the library.
What she's done with the library. Great.
The library's become this.
Yeah.
That is much better.
See, Moffitt, I'm writing stuff for you.
That is so much better. I would be so ecstatic if that happened.
Because that would have been the best send-off. Because River Song's pretty much gone with Moffitt. There's no more River Song after this.
That's such a good idea.
Yeah.
Hmm. See, that makes me even more angry at the episode. Because just that nothing really happens. And even the first doctor, he's there, but he doesn't do much. He doesn't even add much to the story. You could take him out of the story, and the story would be exactly the same. And it's weird to have the that World War I fighter all of a sudden show up, and I love that actor. That guy is great.
Mark Gatiss.
Yeah, he's great in Sherlock, so it was kind of nice to have that kind of
crossover. And as somebody who's written several episodes of the show, it's nice to give him another appearance.
He was the guy who became like the lizard dude in the Tenant years.
Wait, he's written some of the show?
He's written quite a few.
Mark Gatiss is a writer. He's
the
executive producer of Sherlock.
Oh, I just know him as an actor. I never really looked into
him. That's Mycroft.
Yeah. And I was like, that's Mycroft. That's great.
No, he's all over the show.
He's written arguably some of the less good episodes of Doctor Who, but he's written some good ones too. Yeah.
Okay. So with Martha, when it's the guy who becomes young again,
he turns into
like a lizard guy by the end of it, and he like attacks Martha's family and holds them hostage.
Okay.
That's Mark Gatiss, the blonde dude.
Yes.
Oh. Yeah. If you remember back that far, that's it.
Okay.
But I did. I mean, it felt right to have him there.
Yeah.
Even
it
so,
makes sense.
He even said it. I saw on the wrap up thing they did afterwards that he was just really excited to be able to play the grandfather
of the Brigadier.
That was a cute little like moment. Although I did question like, so wait, but you just in the real timeline he dies here.
Yeah,
he's
supposed to die here. He already I know he has a son, but now how do you know you didn't just mess up the whole Brigadier's
maybe
like,
the Brigadier doesn't want to enlist now. You know? Maybe he's like, I just want to start a band.
Maybe he was always meant to survive. No, he doesn't. That's the whole point of making it the Christmas truce.
Yeah.
That's another thing, too.
Yeah.
They bring up this like question of the doctors don't want to die, And he's the only one to be like, no, it's my time to die. I should die. That's what I should do. And the doctors kind of take that away from him, if anything.
Well, maybe he dies like a day later.
Yeah.
He could theoretically die and like, because I do love that they included that story of the Christmas truce, because like it's a beautiful story. Armistice. It's a true story. The armistice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's real, and it's and that was a nice. And I didn't see it coming actually, because even though they were World War One, I didn't think, oh, what Christmas? Because I was wondering how they're going to tie this into Christmas, because they always do somehow, even if it's a giant snowflake attacking London, it's something there. But it's like, so I was like, how are they going to do this? And when they brought up the Christmas armistice, that was just, I thought that was like a nice little tie-in, because it's a nice, very Doctor Who moment to have a moment of peace that only happened one time in one history in one war, and it's never been repeated. And that was beautiful and very nice, and one of my favorite parts of the episode. But I kind of wish it. I just wish the rest of it. It made me feel like we want to do this, this, and this, and then we're going to come up with a story that can kind of tie them in, but doesn't do it in a very strong way.
Back to Adrian's point about the first Doctor is, I do feel like he was sort of underutilized, and he also didn't feel that much like the first Doctor. He looked like him, but you know, he was mostly there for comic relief. But what I did like, I really liked the scene with him and Bill, where Bill just sort of talks about, you know, the one bloke and all that. So that was the one moment where I'm like, all right, now I feel like it makes sense that he was here. But apart from that, he didn't need to be there. It was just more like, oh, that'd be fun to hang out with the first Doctor.
Did you guys like David Bradley in the role?
I did.
Yeah. I'm not that familiar with the first Doctor. Yeah, so to me, it was like, oh, cool. From the little clips I've seen of the first Doctor, he kind of seems to be using that mannerisms that he does. And I like the out-of-date character in with the up-to-date characters, and just seeing that kind of bump heads.
Yeah.
I'm glad they did that, because I feel like if they had brought that guy and he would have just been like, I'm as hip and modern as you guys, I would have been a little disappointed.
Yeah, it was fun, especially with the build up and like with the change coming. It was just great of like acknowledgement of like, yeah, times change. That's good.
Yeah. No, but it was great. I always think David Bradley's such a chameleon. So actually, until I watched the after show type of thing on the Amazon app, I had no idea what he actually sounded like. I was like, what does David Bradley really sound like in
real life?
That's true.
I always think of him just as, I assume, because he kind of sounds the same in the Harry Potter world as well as Game of Thrones.
Yeah, so but he sounds completely different in like Hot Fuzz, where he's like just mumbling everything.
Right.
So I was really excited to
It also just, it is a nice, like, with the larger Doctor Who, like, world, because he portrayed Hartnell in Adventure in Space and Time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So just like, it was like, that makes sense.
Yeah, I understand why they did it.
Is this the first time they've recast one of the Doctors?
No, so the first Doctor was played by a different actor in a special called The Three Doctors in 1983, I think, for the 20th anniversary. Because
I thought that was Hartnell actually coming back.
And he's barely in it because he was really sick at that point. Yeah. But then they recast him for, actually, no, I think that was The Five Doctors.
Yeah,
it was
the Three Doctors he was there for.
The Five Doctors, they recast him, and Tom Baker's barely in it, but that's not the purpose of this conversation.
This is the third actor to portray the first Doctor.
Yeah.
Ow.
Yeah.
He's the only Doctor that gets recast. Because all the other
so far.
As far as I know, other than like photo stand-ins for stuff.
Yeah.
Because they did like all the like Doctors running through in the
Day of the Doctor, that moment when they're all standing there. Yeah, there's definitely stand-ins.
That was them.
Eccleston wouldn't be in the episode, but he would stand there with
young
just
Tom Baker made a comeback. Very young. I know he was there earlier as an old man. But.
There were a lot of great moments between the two, like the new Who versus the old Who, and it is protected. Protected by whom?
I really like that.
I also like that he doesn't. I've never seen any of the first Doctor stuff, and I know that's my bad. But like, when did the sonic screwdriver come to be?
Not till
third Doctor. The third Doctor is more of your like James Bond Doctor, because he doesn't travel through space and anything.
It's
more about gadgets and stuff. Yeah,
because it's so tied into the character in my mind that when he was like, "What is that?"
No, the first doctor didn't have it. The second doctor didn't have it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's been around for like 40 plus years, but still. It's, yeah. He didn't know what it was. The moment that I really like between 1 and 12 is when 1 says, I thought I would get younger. And, you know, 12 is like, I am younger.
I know.
Yeah, but, you know, barely.
Because that was the thing, right? That Peter Capaldi was one of the oldest, or he was like only a year younger than the original William Hartnell told him.
When he started. Yeah, when he started. I believe that's correct. Yeah.
So, oh yeah,
oldies, oldies talking, oldie doctors.
It would have been nice if he's like, "Well, you did for a while."
Yeah,
and then that.
Then I got older.
And then I got older again.
I just wrote down one quote before we move on that I really liked from the first doctor. This is the flight deck of the most powerful space-time machine in the known universe. Not a restaurant for the French.
Yeah.
So I was just like, "What did I rewound that?" And I'm like. Yeah, okay. I did like that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even know what that means, but it sounds right.
Yeah. It sounds like something the first doctor would say.
It has a slight Parisian feel because it has color to it, whereas his TARDIS has no color.
It's fancy.
I guess. I mean, he does have that hidden panel for his alcohol, which I think is really cool.
I did like that, yes.
I would argue if you go into like a fancy restaurant nowadays, it would look more like the first doctor's place.
It would. That but minimalist, he doesn't know that.
Like,
That's true. That's very.
That's more like an Apple store than
a real one. You see, they knew what they were doing when they built those Apple stores.
It is really cool to see those old First Doctor sets recreated.
Yeah.
Like seeing like just the South Pole base like recreated in like with like full production behind it, and like,
they did a full scene.
And they went as far to recast the companions Ben and Polly. I mean, they're barely in it, but they still got people that looked like them, which I thought was a really nice touch.
You don't want to stick with that stuff very long.
Yeah.
But it was really cool. It was a really cool way to start this episode.
And saying,
709 episodes ago. Which is also like, holy
shit. Yeah.
Yeah, it's been quite a few episodes.
None of us were alive when that episode came out originally.
Nope, not at all.
My parents some of those were episodes, barely alive.
Some of those episodes don't even exist anymore.
97 of them are lost.
97?
Yeah, because the BBC wanted to save money, so they recorded over video cassettes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't that hurt your heart when you did that as a kid? Sorry, this is old for old people.
Yeah, who had tapes.
It's like deleting hard drive space.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Or, no, it's like when you come home and you're like ready to watch this movie. And then you hit play, and you realize that your mom recorded, like, Days of Our Lives on it. And you're like, no! I mean, really, it would have been me recording Days of Our Lives.
I know,
but,
I know it's a tangent, not Doctor Who, but the only reason that we have episodes of Monty Python's Flying Circus is that Terry Gilliam bought from the BBC for $90 the master tapes because they wanted to record over all of them.
Oh, wow.
Because that's the time. So we would have never had it if Terry Gilliam had been like, this seems like a good investment. Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and buy those. But unfortunately, nobody did that with those classic Doctor stories. Wow.
They've slowly started to like either find them in vaults or they find the audio tapes and they've started animating some of them. You can find those on DVD. They've started putting up. They're a lot of fun, the animated ones, because they're very much, they feel very alive way that they do it. Anyway, there were a lot of great quips. I think the one that like stood out to me where I just like had I lost it for a moment was when he just goes over to you, Mary Berry, partially because I got hooked on Great British Bake Off over the last month or so. But I was just like, that is ridiculous that just happened.
I didn't get that. I haven't seen it.
So many British people. So many British TV shows. I want to go back to Testimony for a little bit.
Because
there were some interesting, like they dropped that it's from the year 15 billion and like 12 or whatever it is.
Earth 2,
on,
right?
On New Earth. Is the same. They go to the year 15 billion on New Earth in the David Tennant episode Gridlock. If you remember that episode with the where they're stuck in the traffic.
Yeah, and then there's like they have the stickers and the stickers can do something to you.
It's a great episode.
Yeah. With the you find that the cat guy who's driving the car. Fascinating episode. And it's just interesting that like he picked specifically that point in space and time for this thing to come from. So
wasn't that a thing where a lot of people were dying in that episode where the cats who were kind of killing them off and stuff?
No, well the cat was a good, he was just stuck in traffic like everybody else.
No, it was like the fast lane was like
Oh.
There was a secret to the fast. Everyone's trying to get to the fast lane.
Yeah, but then there was no fast. There was no fast lane.
The fast lane was like people died.
Yeah, then there was like a cat nurse who was like killing people. Is this a different David?
No,
Tennant
I think
episode?
You're right. I think remember it was a different episode. Said cat nurse. Oh, really?
Hmm. I thought it was the same episode. Because they went back to the Earth twice. There was one with that.
I think it might have been. Yeah, you're right. There might have been a second episode with that one.
Maybe. Because I know he went back twice when what's his face was dying. The face of
Bo.
Yeah,
face of Bo.
All right, sorry. We'll get back on track. Back to 12.
So this is sort of like where it grows from.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wonder if this was like someone developed this technology and then basically this one thing just like started like finding consciousnesses mm-hmm. and like building up until it's like this time traveling entity that just roams the. Roams the universe.
And picks up everyone that dies? Everyone?
Everyone of significance, I think, is the idea.
Ooh, it was everyone.
Was it everyone?
Cool. Yeah. I think it's everyone. That's cold.
See, like Zach, I thought it was only people of significance, which would beg the question, why was Nardal there? I'm just kidding, because I liked him. I just wanted to be a jerk.
Well, because Nardal supported the Doctor, so he saved the universe at least a few times.
All right, I guess that makes him important, Zach.
I thought it was everyone. That would make... sense because that would be it's not like that would be hard
it's
to
also
download,
just seems like it's but. Kind of I don't know it seems like it's impossible even though it's like an artificial intelligence that downloads it should just be some people.
I mean look they clearly visited the 1990s because that's where they got the Abyss special effects from.
Yeah.
Was I the only one that was just like we've had crazy levels of special effects on this show
too, and that was a
and
week.
That was
the glass people.
It was so just like
it's pretty bleh.
Boring.
But it like legitimately felt like it was from like another decade.
Right. Yeah, they could have done better mocap on that. Just saying.
I did like the one thing that the first Doctor brought was the first Doctor recognized. The fact that the face was asymmetrical and so probably wasn't
that old school. Yeah, just look at what you're
look at what's in front of you rather than worry
put
about
down
the circuits
stupid,
and stuff.
Sunglasses.
Sunglasses.
Yeah.
Him with the sunglasses. I also like the moment where he's like, never take those off. You look so good at them.
Do you guys have any other like favorite moments or anything from this the bulk of this episode? Yeah.
I liked seeing the wild Daleks. Because it reminded me of aliens. And I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. It's like two worlds colliding. Because it just like comes on as like a little face sucker. Like aliens. Yeah. I thought that was fun.
Feral Daleks.
Yeah.
Feral
Daleks.
Yeah, I like that too. I kind of wanted more of them.
Yeah.
I thought we were going to see like, are we going to see like Daleks try to communicate without being in their
I'm like, what
ships,
happened to the budget, man? Like, you couldn't get this budget working?
That really
this
would.
Last episode?
It would be interesting. I wonder if it's just, if they're ever going to go back to that, like, place, that world, and then build out, like, what Rusty's story with the Daleks is. Mm-hmm. Like, as, like, the quote-unquote good Dalek, like, he's been fighting the Daleks, and they've been unable to stop him, and so he's, like, mutated this unique, like, strain of Dalek, I guess.
Are those all good Daleks, or are those like,
yeah, like are those all like him, or are they just more like animals, or are they evolving? Or like, it reminds me of Dalek Sek from the tenant from the Empire State Building episodes, where he's like the true like human Dalek hybrid.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was always curious where that character could go, and then they got rid of him. But could you team up with Rusty down the line?
Mm. Right.
Well, I would be interested to see that.
They left that open, so we'll probably see Rusty.
They left a lot of stuff open. Mm-hmm.
It'll be interesting to see how much of the current, or like these years of Doctor Who, come into Chibnall's Doctor Who, which is, from what we can see, going to be completely moving on in its own right. Mm-hmm. And with that... let's talk about the end of the episode.
Oh, wait. Doctor. So I liked What's Browser History, too. I thought that was really cool.
That was good. And I'll just say that I really liked Capaldi's speech before he regenerates. Yeah. I thought you were Okay. I was afraid you were skipping it.
Let's do our transition, Christian.
Let's transition. I was worried.
And to get us there, we had to talk about the speech.
Yeah.
Because it was like, it was a good it was a good emotional send off. It had all those different layers and Easter eggs like hidden in there. Yeah.
And it was maybe a bit too Easter eggy, I think.
There's a lot of them.
I was just like, oh, it's kind of beautiful. I just thought Peter Capaldi did really great.
He kind of like delivery of it. Said every, well, that was in the previous episode.
Where he says all of the last
lines. All of the last lines. And that was actually pretty fun. I like that. But this one, I don't know. I didn't need more of like, don't tell anyone your name. I didn't need more of that the name
was,
stuff.
Here's what I think that was. That was Moffat saying, that's my mystery. It was mine. No one else gets to solve it or answer it or ever bring it up again because the doctor said that no one except children can understand my name.
So maybe we'll get it someday.
Can't say it.
It did sound like, remember this so you can use it if you want, future creators of Doctor
Who. Oh, yeah. I thought the exact opposite.
I agree with Zach. Yeah, I was like, don't touch this. Yeah, this is my thing.
Maybe
yeah.
they will. I would like to know the name. I mean, don't write Seth Fred.
But you're no longer a child. So
do not write Seth Fred.
It's like Santa Claus.
Hey, okay, just because I'm an adult.
I'm always a child. I'm Dave Child.
That's a great point.
God. I'll always know the name. Just ask me and I'll tell you.
So only Dave is allowed to know the doctor's real name.
That's right. He was talking about me. I know it and I won't tell anyone.
Yeah.
It's Fred. It's Fred.
I hope
his name's Fred Doctor. It's not
much of a mystery.
It's really, it's really disappointing when you get down to it.
Oh, man. All right. But then we get... So I did love at the end of his speech, his last mm-hmm. line, as opposed to the last showrunner to exit on Modern Who was Davies. Mm-hmm. Davies and Tennant's way to say goodbye was, I don't want to go, mm-hmm. which we all remember. It was beautiful, but it was also like very much holding on to the past and mm-hmm. saying like, this is great. I don't want to stop doing this, but I have to move forward. Mm-hmm. This was... Doctor, I let you go. And that was, to me, that was Moffat and also Capaldi, but I think more Moffat saying, I'm letting this go. This is going to be a new thing now. The past is gone. Cool. Let's welcome in the new.
It's better that you said that, because after that epic monologue, when he said that, I was kind of pissed. I was like, really? Really? Like,
I think it was specifically
better, I understand now.
The antithesis of the Tennant goodbye.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, it was good. I kind of saw it as him being a little mansplaining to his future female self. Be kind of like, hey, this is what you should do.
I mean, we all know that Moffat has some issues when it comes to writing women, so I'm not going to disagree with that.
it felt a little like, let me teach you what to do.
See, I thought it was more like the outgoing president leaves a letter in the desk for the next president.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, and just the advice of, you know, never be cruel, never be cowardly, and that stuff. And that very important... Great. Never eat pears.
And he's also the older doctor, so it makes sense that he would have that inclination.
And he's always been kind of a teacher. That's even literally a teacher. Yeah. So that's it. Kind of fits more with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But now let's get to 13.
Yeah. One thing I do have to say, he's regenerated plenty of times. Mm-hmm. Why doesn't he know just park the ship? And then he knows he's going.
Wait, here's the other
isn't
thing.
It already parked, and then it loses it when he regenerates.
No, he starts flying, and then he regenerates.
Right. But here's the other thing: is that to his credit, he's never had a consistent like amount of energy given off when he regenerates. Because the last time he did it in the TARDIS when it was Smith into Capaldi, and he was just like, "Bang! Boom. I'm a new guy now."
It was like Eccleston into Tennant. It was just like, "And I'm here."
Yeah.
So,
but
yeah.
This is like, but it's
but when he
this
when
is the,
Smith
at least
did
the second time this has happened.
When Smith did it, he blew up a Dalek ship, like mega ship.
Yeah, and but I think for sure he's destroyed the TARDIS before. While regenerating. Am I making that up?
Definitely Tennant into Smith.
Tennant into Smith.
But that's the only time that I think it happened.
I just feel like you gotta find a safe space.
I know why he's doing it. Go regenerate in the woods. Yeah. You know, away from the TARDIS.
Go to the woods.
Anywhere but maybe inside of it, knowing that the energy has even the potential to just blow stuff up.
I thought he was gonna regenerate in the woods because of when we got that reveal of oh my God, why am I blanking on her name? Of Whitaker taking over the role.
Yeah,
she was walking through the woods. But also, this is something that Davies and Moffat both do when they're leaving the show, which is to kind of be like, "And we're done, blow it up."
Well, I kind of do. You know, I do like if we take away from the logic of the show, I do like throwing the dice a little. And that's what the ending is doing to me, which is I appreciate because it lets whoever is the next showrunner, who I'm blanking on the name.
Chris Chibnall.
Yeah, he gets to, like, run with whatever like he wants to now.
Yeah, because she's falling out of the TARDIS.
Yeah, because
you don't know where in time it is.
Yeah.
She's falling out of the TARDIS. That's the only thing that they have for a story prompt. Yeah. And it's great. But it's
there's no way he wasn't involved all the decisions.
Yeah. Moffat's production ends as Capaldi regenerates. And so so Chibnall was on set and everything for the moment when she leans forward and she's Jodie Whittaker. So right. He actually crafted all of that. So he knows exactly where she's falling to. So it wasn't like, you know, although that would have been amazing if Moffat was like, yeah, write your way out of this one. Broadchurch.
No, it's not so much that. It's more like they can do anything. Or it also leaves him being like, have her fall out so I can figure it out.
Yeah.
And we can have fun. But it's just story-wise. He starts flying the ship, and he's like, now I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
It just,
that makes sense.
That's okay.
I really
She didn't grab her boobs, man.
I know. There's a little things. I think
that was just me.
We still have room
Time.
In the next one.
There's still time.
I also kind of wanted.
But I kind of hope she doesn't.
Oh, Brilliant was a great first thing to say.
Oh,
and definitely. Everyone's like, it's turned into T-shirts already. It's great. I really like her introduction. There was a part of me that wanted her to just look in the mirror and go, still not a ginger.
Yeah.
Like, I still kind of wanted that still not a ginger because it's like.
It's been said in the chat at least a couple times.
Yeah.
But I think we're all like, and look, there's still time for all this.
There's still time
for the doctor to have
Originally, when I said I wanted to grab her boobs, that was before like everything exploded with the Weinstein stuff. So I still want her to do it, but you know, at the same time,
I think there's definitely going to be like the "what is my body" thing. That's happened in previous first like episodes.
Yeah,
I mean, Capaldi had new kidneys. You know, he didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
There's going to be something explored there, whatever the specifics are.
They're gonna
and how much they decide to skip over it or just like.
I also hope that not everything she says has to do with her being a woman, kind of like how almost everything Bill said had to be with her being a gay woman.
Yeah.
So like at least one in every episode she says something about being a gay woman. That's kind of like, we get it.
Like, I think they'll.
We know.
I think they will have at least the first episode will have to be focused on that. Although, actually, as I say that, it could be nice for them to spend that first episode not even dealing with it and just plowing forward,
keep going.
And then address it in two or three.
Mm-hmm.
But just like to own the fact that like this is not the defining characteristic of the Doctor.
Yeah.
This is just a character. This is just something that happened to the Doctor and. Mm-hmm. She's going to move forward with it and continue to be the Doctor.
I'm kind of excited for, I feel like, one scene that might happen that I'm foreseeing is there's going to be a scene, maybe not even in the first episode, where someone starts talking to the guy next to her. And then the Doctor gets excited about being like, oh, wait, this is because of this. This is what's happening. And like, he gets more excited than angry. It's like, this is a new feeling.
Yeah.
I'm being ignored.
It's kind of sexism. Oh my God.
You assume the Doctor isn't the woman.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be fun. I think it's going to be a lot of fun to write. And
it'll be a very interesting year to have a female Doctor. Let's just say that.
I like her outfit too. What we've seen of the picture of the new outfit.
Mm-hmm. The suspenders.
I like the suspenders.
Yeah.
I like the big
the
pants.
Suspenders reminds me of Smith, which I like.
Tie.
The jacket is very Doctor Who.
And, you know, Capaldi had his Doc Martens. And,
Yeah, and it has and a shirt with a little bit of a rainbow on it, but not too much.
It's also on the trim of the coat.
Yeah, which is enough to be kind of like, I think it's kind of a little nod towards diversity, but not too heavy. I think it's kind of an
accent. I think it sort of, to me, it implied that we're going to get a more fun Doctor.
Yeah.
Like, this is going to be much closer to Smith than to Capaldi.
Yeah.
Yes, I think so, too.
Or maybe and more of a... Oh, no.
I expect...
Yeah.
Yeah, and a little bit of, like, a happier Tenet days rather than the...
At least to start.
Yeah.
At least to start. And, like, the Doctor can go into any of those darker directions. That's what the Doctor has to do.
Mm-hmm.
But... I'm looking forward to like the happy go excited Doctor, and I think that we saw that just in the brief moments we had with 13, because like the excitement on her face when she saw her reflection. Mm-hmm. And she's, oh, brilliant. Like,
yeah.
I'm like, I'm in. I'm fully in on this take on the character. Because like, that excitement is what you want to see.
I also just really wanted her to play with Missy. Like, I really wanted to have that moment of them both.
It can absolutely happen.
I hope it. Well, because I know the actress who plays Missy,
Michelle Gomez,
doesn't really want to come back.
Well, she said that, but that doesn't mean that she hasn't changed her mind.
Yeah.
And doesn't mean
that, I just think that would be really awesome.
I think that would be a lot of fun.
If she, because we're talking about maybe Missy becoming the companion at one point. That'd be
I love that idea. Yeah. Still,
that was a great theory. It's never going to happen, but
I know, but it would be cool. It would just give me like 2 episodes.
Yeah.
Should we move into some predictions?
Yeah.
Because we can talk now about what we think is coming next season.
Okay.
Predictions.
Well, I mean, we've kind of talked a little bit about what we kind of. I'm looking forward to that. Her figuring out who she is, her figuring out even her body and how she pronounces words and all of that stuff is some of my favorite new Doctor stuff.
Going back
stuff.
To being British.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you a specific question on like as we get into predictions. Uh-huh. Like, so the last thing we see is the Doctor falling from the TARDIS, and the TARDIS voomps away.
Does gone. It boomp away?
Yeah, yes, it's
it
gone.
I watched it a couple times because I had the same thought. I'm like, wait, did it just spit her out? And yes, it did.
Yeah, it very much, when it starts to explode, the TARDIS rewrites itself, or turns sideways, dumps her out, and then goes away.
Huh. Is the TARDIS sexist? The TARDIS is a woman.
Obviously.
That doesn't mean
it's woman on woman. sexism.
But happens sometimes.
I've seen some interesting theories on this. I know that Nerds put up an article with a theory that like this could wind up being like the third Doctor, where this could be a TARDIS-less Doctor, at least for a little while. I don't know that I want to see that, but I've seen that theory.
But we have the picture of her TARDIS with her, because when she's introduced with her outfit.
It's a different TARDIS.
It is a different TARDIS.
It has black, like,
so she has a TARDIS.
Eventually, it's not like they're going to never give her a TARDIS, but are we going to go several episodes?
Without her having a TARDIS.
I don't think so. I think it's going to be at the end of this episode at the latest. And I'm who knows how she's going to be caught. Or what's going to happen there? Like, she could hit a plane.
Who knows?
I do have a prediction from, I think it's going to be involved. I think this whole next season, I wouldn't be surprised if UNIT is more of a part of it. Because just judging from these are the cast of characters that we're going to be seeing a lot of. And it was a good group. It was like, what, five?
They've announced 3 series regulars.
Oh, yes.
Which, in TV talk, in case anyone, I don't want to assume anyone knows, series regular means someone who's going to appear in the vast majority of episodes, because they're basically committing to pay them for every episode.
Yeah. So you better use them for every episode.
Yeah. So paying them, yes. And we have Tosin Cole, Mandeep Gill, and Bradley Walsh.
Which makes me, it just feels like the way they ended this season, I think maybe with the captain and with this 3 people that might be part of the, might all be companions, but they also might be part of UNIT.
And none of them have been called a companion to this point. The rumor is that Bradley Walsh is playing Graham, and he's an older white man, more stereotypical what you would think would have been the Doctor up until this year. That's who everyone thinks is going to be the primary companion.
Oh, that's interesting.
Currently, that's not confirmed, but it is. That is the theory.
Why do you hate that?
Why is that necessary?
Yeah,
I guess that's what my opinion is. It's like, why is it necessary to pair her with an older gen? I could get it, like, in terms of like those situations you were talking about,
the
like,
balance it think up,
it's,
yeah.
But at the same time, it's kind of like. I kind of wanted. Free.
I wanted it to be
happens.
A couple. I wanted it to be like a couple because I want her to be kind of a third wheel. I don't want there to be a romance right out the gate. If there's a romance, I want it to be like next season.
I don't want a romance all this season.
And
I
thought they could still do, because the Doctor primarily has women as companions, and I was like, you can still do that.
Yeah.
You don't have to invert switch it off. Because she's a woman as well. So. That's kind of why I frowned at it. I think it would be really cool if they paired her with a woman and just let people do whatever they want with
it. I do kind of like it. The idea of if you're going to have a guy be the companion, if they are going to flip it, mm-hmm. they're going full flip by making an older guy. They're at least doing yeah. something where it's not like...
I'm all here for older people being cast because they are often ignored.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I don't know. I don't know, man. I'm just saying.
Billie Jean Girl 24 asks, will they give her a new sonic screwdriver? Absolutely yes, because yeah. there's way too much money to be made on people buying toys yes. sonic screwdrivers.
Right. Also, she's going to have the best-selling merch you've ever seen.
I'm
going
to have true. That outfit for Halloween next year.
Everyone I know is going to be. There's so many... people that will buy that and are going, they're going to be new Doctor Who fans this whole new season. Mm-hmm. This is going to be.
Oh, I know a lot of people like, that are coming that are saying that they've been gone for whatever reason. Like yeah. a lot of them that Clara. I think is. Yeah. Well.
I was gone for Clara.
Yeah.
Clara.
I feel like.
People are coming back. People yeah. ever saying like they're going to absolutely at least give it a chance
yeah.
this because is maybe, of this decision.
This is also maybe a good question that I've been getting a lot of that I think we can. I think maybe we'll all have different opinions. A lot of people are coming back and saying, hey, now I want to watch the show. Where should I start? I think part of it is just start with this new doctor, and I think that you'll be okay.
I would say go back if you have the time. If you don't have the time, start with Capaldi. If you do have the time, go back to Eccleston. If you have even more time, go back to the originals. But I think for everything that's been tracking – I started only with new series, and I've been able to
I think catch people on. Who want sort of modern production values and money and effects and stuff, it's probably good to start with Matt Smith. You start with Eccleston, those episodes yeah. are very dated looking.
They and can
you,
be, yeah.
You might not make it to the end
there,
of the
there
season.
Are people I know who are huge Doctor Who fans who tried to start with Eccleston because, like, much like me, cannot start from the middle,
yeah.
which is a huge leap you have to get over. You just have to deal with Doctor Who, because even yeah. if you start yeah. at Eccleston, you're still starting
like season 29.
But I think Matt Smith is like starting with season 5 is a good place. Starting place because it's a clean reset yeah. to yeah. the world. Like, that's the big thing is like you can't start with Tennant because the story is just
I started with Tennant going. Before, but this is like when he was like active. And I would say start with Tennant only because he makes the Doctor very appealing.
And fun. And also I think...
But so does Matt.
You know, this is a good send-off for Stephen Moffat. I think he'll always have the first episode you should watch if you want to get a sense of how good Doctor Who will be, which is Blink.
Yeah.
That's always the watch Blink is what I tell
everyone. That's a tester. But I think if you're listening to this in any capacity...
I'm talking about what do you tell other people.
Yeah.
I tell people to start with Tennant. And I go, yeah. it looks old, but...
I always do that. I'm with Dave, though. I usually tell people, watch Blink as a tester. If you like that, go back and start with Eccleston.
Oh, okay.
If you're pressed for time and you just want to watch, like, enough to, like, to then the Smith idea. Is a good... Like, yeah, his mean, first year I mean, is a place you can start and cut out 4 seasons and not yeah. be... Not be lost.
I mean, the 11th yeah. hour, the first Matt Smith episode, is actually a perfect starting point, just story-wise. You're not lost.
Yeah. Much like I imagine the next episode is going to be. It's going to feel like a pilot. You're going to have completely new characters. You're going to have... It's interesting how much of the show is changing.
Yeah.
Because you're not only losing your showrunner and your all of your characters, like your primary characters. Murray Gold, who's been scoring... Doctor Who since season 1, since Eccleston's year, is stepping back. And he's been doing every episode of the show.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Guy deserves a break.
Yeah. So if you have no time, just start with the new season.
Yeah. And Who fans, keep that in mind. Keep in mind, like, enjoy the beginning episode, because you are going to be, things are going to be explained to you that you already know.
Yep.
But know how many new fans are now a part of your fandom and how good that is. Maybe I can patience in that.
Finally yeah. bring some of my friends in.
I know, right?
Steve, hit that music. as we say goodbye to Doctor Who.
Aww.
I also love that this music came on during the regeneration that they threw the Bad Wolf theme in there.
Because it's the best theme ever.
But it also just like, it was so separate from Capaldi that it was like, oh yeah, this awesome thing that we forgot about. Don't go, says the chat. Yeah. We have to go. There's not time enough, and I don't have a real
artist. I don't want to leave, but I promised friends I would watch Jumanji with them tonight.
Oh, it's so good.
So I have to go.
Yeah.
Next show, we let you take the studio. I was trying something, it didn't quite work. All right, guys.
Now we're gonna blow up the studio.
We're gonna wrap out for Doctor Who's here. Please keep the conversation going with us. I want to know what you guys thought of this episode. Did you agree with us? Did you strongly disagree with us? Let us know in the comments below or find us on Twitter. Especially, I want to know your thoughts on the brilliant moment that was the end of the season. What are you looking forward to when we get Jodie Whittaker later this year?
When is it coming back?
Is late 2018. Announcement September. That has been... They only started shooting it in November.
Oh, wow.
So we have some time to wait. But stick with us. You can find me and keep talking about Doctor Who, because I'm always down to talk about Doctor Who, on Twitter, at @ThatZachWilson.
You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Miss Adrienne Snow. That's MSADRINSNOW.
You can find me at MRDaveChild and DaveChild.com. I'm also on Game of Thrones Weekly, and I'll be on there every now and then. So, not weekly, but I'll be there monthly on a weekly show. You'll figure it out. DaveChild.com.
You can find me at ChristianDMZ, and Sundays I do Star Trek, Mondays I do Marvel, Tuesdays I do Trump, and Wednesdays I do South Park. So you can find me all over AstroBuzz.
I'll also be back for Black Mirror and The Magicians.
Nice. All right, guys. This has been the Doctor Who After Show at AfterBuzz TV. Thanks for geeking out with us.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.